Welcome to the Shir and Targum and Parshas Voschanan. The very first word in the Parsha lends itself to some discussion as to how to translate it. And we'll see that the Targum Unculus plays a role in this discussion. The Parsha opens up, Voschanan el Hashem bo'esahi le'mor. So what's Voschanan? A simple translation of Voschanan, I pleaded. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I pleaded with Hashem at that time, asking him to allow me to go into Eretz Yisrael. But more precisely, what does Voschanan mean? So Rashi writes, Ein chinun b'chol makom elom loshen matnas chinum. The language of Voschanan means I was basically asking for a matnas chinum, for a handout which I don't really deserve. Even though, in theory, a tzaddik could go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I've done so many good deeds, I deserve to be rewarded. Nonetheless, tzaddikim, when they go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they ask for things, they don't say, kumtmir, you know, I deserve it. They say, really, I don't deserve it at all, but give me a matnas chinam, just give me, you know, give me a handout, you know, give me something that's really not deserved, Ribbono Shel Olam, because I recognize in my humility my own lowliness. God owes me nothing. So that, says Rashi, is the pshat in Voschanan el Hashem. In other words, I pleaded with Hashem for something that I don't really deserve. That's pshat number one in Rashi. Dover Acher, a second interpretation. Ze echad me'asara l'shonos shenikres tefila. For Voschanan is not related to the word, the idea of matnas chinam, of a handout, according to the second pshat in Rashi. For Voschanan simply means, I prayed. And we find that prayer is described by various terms in Lashon HaKodesh. He says there are 10 different terms which are used to describe tefillah. I guess like the old saying, you know, the Eskimos have many, many words to describe snow. So I guess Jews have 10 different words to describe tefillah. So Voschanan Hashem simply means, according to the second pshat in Rashi, I davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. In other words, there isn't an implication, according to the second pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu felt he didn't deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps according to the second pshat, he felt that he did deserve to go into Eretz Yisrael. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, to cash in on those schuyos, on those merits that he had. From the arrangement of Rashi, one gets the impression that Rashi feels the first pshat is the more straightforward way of reading Voschanan. In other words, when Rashi generally brings two or more interpretations, one can often assume that the first interpretation that Rashi gives is what Rashi thinks is, fundamentally speaking, the correct interpretation. But there are other ways of looking at it as well, right? But if you were to pin Rashi to the wall, you would say, you know, really, 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 I think Voschanan means that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for a matnas chinam. He's asking for a handout from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Targum Unculus, in contrast, translates Voschanan as vitzalesi, Kodem Hashem bo'idona hahu. I davened before Hashem at that time. Right? So in other words, perhaps, it sounds like the Targum Unculus is following the second pshat in Rashi, that Voschanan is simply a lashon of davening and doesn't necessarily carry that implication of matnas chinam, please give me a handout. It's interesting to note that a little bit later on in the psukim, Pasuk Chavav, we read V'lo Shama Eloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not listen to me, which could be interpreted as he did not accept my prayers. The Targum Unculus simply translates as V'lo Kabel Mini, he didn't accept my taina. He didn't accept, you know, the argument that I made to try to go into Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, it's less a concept of prayer not being accepted. Rather, you know, whatever argument Moshe Rabbeinu made, not being accepted before the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's just the first word in the Parsha before we get any further.
Wouldn't you say the first pshat of Rashi is that Moshe is asking that for davening, not just say, blatantly make it to me?
Right. No. So either way, he's davening. But I think the second pshat is implying, I'm davening and asking for something that I deserve. In other words, if Ischanan simply means I'm at Nischinam, basically he's davening to Hashem, you know, just give me a handout. If Ischanan is a lashon of tefillah, so that means maybe I do deserve it. You know, in other words, we can daven for things that we think we deserve, but we still, you know, have to daven for them. Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu, that fine line between knowing that the person did things that merit, say, reward, and then also, as you said, God owes me nothing. You know, it's a fine line in private, if you will.
Right.
And maybe, like, announced publicly, it's kind of off limits.
Right.
But in private, tefillah, person can say, I did, you know, everything I could do.
I tried, yeah.
I did everything I could do.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, you know, how do we elaborate on that a little bit?
So the truth is that may be at play between the two interpretations of Rashi. According to the first interpretation of Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu is basically saying, look, I really don't deserve it, but give it, you know, please give it to me anyway.
Yeah.
According to the second interpretation, seems like Moshe Rabbeinu is coming and saying, no, I do think I deserve it. You know, in other words, I have done things that would merit allowing me to going into Eretz Yisrael. So that very issue, I think, is at play between the two interpretations of Rashi. Yeah. Right, okay, maybe the tefillah itself makes him deserving. It could be. So that's just a little introduction to tonight. I wanted to spend most of tonight speaking about a pasuk and its targum in various different interpretations. A pasuk which we just read yesterday on Tisha B'Av, so perhaps, you know, it's still fresh in our minds. So in Perek Dalet, pasuk Chafei, the Torah tells us, Ki solid banim uvnevanim v'noshantem ba'aretz. A day might come where you'll be in the land of Eretz Yisrael for a long time. Vishchatem, asisem pesol tmun askov, asisem hara, b'nei Hashem elokecha lahachiso. And unfortunately, the day may come where you will engage in avodah zarah, in idolatry. Haidosi vochem ayom es hashamayim v'esaaretz, ki avod tovedun maher me'al haaretz. So says Hashem, I want to bear witness against you that if you do that, if you worship Avodah Zarah, so I am going to throw you out of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'hefitz Hashem eschem bo'amim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to scatter you through the nations. Again, you can understand, by the way, why this is the laning for the morning of Tisha B'Av, right? It unfortunately describes what Tisha B'Av is all about. You were in Eretz Yisrael, you sinned, you worship foreign gods. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to throw you out of Eretz Yisrael. He's going to send you to foreign lands. Va'avadtem sham Elohim ma'aseh yidei adam. And there, in those foreign lands, you will worship gods which are created by human beings. Eitz vo'evin. You will worship gods of wood and gods of stone. Asher lo yirun v'lo yishma'un v'lo yochlun v'lo yirichun. And these idols that you are going to worship are blind, they are deaf, they don't eat, they don't smell anything. And nonetheless, you are going to worship these idols in Chutz La'aretz. It's a troublesome pasuk because it almost seems to be describing what the Jews will do as a punishment, right? All of the psukim that have come before are describing if you serve foreign gods in Eretz Yisrael, you will be punished. How will you be punished? You will be punished by being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. And you will be punished by being scattered. Those are punishments. And you will be punished by worshipping foreign gods. That's not a punishment. That's an avera, right? In other words, that's a function of free will. We would hope that the Jews would not worship foreign gods in Chutz La'aretz. The pasuk seems to be describing, amidst the other punishments that Klal Yisrael will receive, you will be punished by worshipping foreign gods. You'll be punished by worshipping Avodah Zarah. Strange. So here comes the Targum, and the Targum translates as follows. V'siflechun tamon, you will worship there in Chutz La'aretz la'amemaya, Polche ta'avasa ovad yedeya nosha. You will worship, or more accurately, you will serve. The word va'avadatem can mean to worship. It can also mean to be an eved. You know, you will be subjugated to nations who themselves worship idols made by man. And then the rest of the pasuk, these idols are made of wood and stone, and they have no senses, etc., etc. So in other words, according to the Targum Unculus, and the Ran explains, what's bothering the Targum Unculus is the question we asked a moment ago, you know, how could it be that the Torah is saying as a punishment you will worship Avodah Zarah? So the Targum reworks the pasuk and says the pasuk is not saying as a punishment that you're going to worship. Whether you worship Avodah Zarah or not is up to you, and we hope that you will make the choice not to worship Avodah Zarah. The pasuk is saying you will go into foreign lands, you will be slaves to nations who worship foolish gods. And it's a double whammy of a punishment. Number one, you'll be subjugated, you'll lose your autonomy. And you'll be subjugated to foolish nations. In other words, you're the Am HaNivchar. You're the chosen nation. You're going to be subjugated by a bunch of people who worship stone, you know, rock worshippers. It's degrading.
Isn't it also like a negative domino effect in the sense that because you're going to worship these foreign gods, Hashem's going to punish you even more because of it?
Oh, okay, so we'll see something like that in a minute, right? But let's first get to Targum Unculus. The Targum Unculus is saying there is no prediction over here that the Jews are going to go into Galus and worship foreign gods, because to present that as part of the punishment would be saying that sinning is a punishment. Sinning's not a punishment, it's a sin, right?
This particular one that's causing them to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
So in other words, it's the punishment is that if you keep on doing about the Zerah, you get deep. Being punished by not coming back into your country.
Right, but that's not what it says. In other words, it says that you're going to go to these foreign lands and you're going to worship foreign gods there. So in other words, as a prediction that you will be punished by sinning, it just doesn't, it's difficult to understand.
You can't get out of it.
Okay, so perhaps we'll see that in a minute. Yeah. Right, and Aver Goreres Avera, right. So, but before we get to those pshatim, let's just focus on the Unculus for a minute, because we'll see there are a number of different interpretations over here. The Targum Unculus is very clearly saying, and again, the Targum Unculus likes to say pshat up until the point where he feels you can't say the simple pshat. So here he feels the simple pshat would be theologically wrong. For the Torah to say, you will be punished by worshipping Avodah Zarah, is just wrong. So what it means is you will be sent into these foreign lands, and part of your punishment is that you will worship, not that you worship, you will be subjugated to the rulers of these lands who themselves worship foolishness. And how degrading is it for Jews to be subjugated to people who worship Narishkeit? Right? That's the sense of it according to the Targum Unculus. Rashi writes as follows, Va'avadtem Shom Elohim, Kitargumo. Right, the interpretation of the pasuk follows the targum, but then Rashi adds the following, which is different than the way we just explained the targum unculus a minute ago. Misha atem ovdim la ovdehem ki ilu atem ovdim lohem. When you serve these nations who themselves serve these foreign gods, domino effect. It's as if you're worshiping these foreign gods. That's different than the way we just interpreted the Targum Unculus. The Targum Unculus, the way we interpreted, has no mention whatsoever of the Jews worshiping foreign gods. Rashi says what the Targum means is that since you are serving foreign powers who serve foreign gods, you know, the chain rule, it's as if you're serving foreign gods. Because why? Well, there's a medrash that explains that when you pay taxes to nations that serve foreign gods, what do they do with the tax money? They build their temples. They, you know, back in the day, there was no separation between religion and state, right? So, you know, you give taxes to the ruling powers, they build their temples with it. So guess what? Where's your tax money going? Your tax money is going to Avodah Zarah. Now, that's not your intent. but you have no choice, right? In other words, they're coming after you for the taxes, and you're giving it for Avodah Zarah. So that, says Rashi, is what the Targum Onkelos means, you know, that you are serving foreign gods indirectly by serving the countries that serve those foreign gods. If we take a... Yeah.
It seems to me that if all of a sudden somebody who's a firm person was transported to a spot where they were about to do an Avera.
Yeah.
Eat a cheeseburger, something.
Right.
That is a punishment.
In what way?
It's a punishment that it's antithetical to their very fiber of how they want to conduct their life.
Right. Okay. Okay. Very good. So hold that point. We'll come back to that in a minute or two. I have a lot of things to come back to. The Ran in his Droshos says the following. Just a word of introduction. So the Ran was Rabbeinu Nissim of lived in Barcelona in the early Middle Ages. He's very famous for a commentary on the Shas. In addition to that, there are Droshos that the Ran gave in Barcelona. They're published in a sefer, shockingly enough, called the Droshos HaRan. And if you think the rabbis of today speak for a long time, you know, the Droshos, each Drosha of the Ran, you know, runs for like 15, 20 pages. So I don't know if he said it all at once in Shul, or if this was like, you know, a couple of installments over a few Shabbosos or whatever it was, but they're long Droshos. So the ninth Drosha is called Voeschanan El Hashem. It's basically a drasha on Parshas Voeschanan, and he touches on various different points in Voeschanan. So he quotes this pasuk and the Targum Onkelos. He introduces the Targum Onkelos by saying Vehu Tema. The simple pshat in the pasuk is astonishing. Eich ba pasuk ze ben Yehudei ha'onesh. How can a pasuk that is among psukim that are telling you about how you're going to be punished, how could it come and tell you how you're going to sin when you go into in Chutz La'aretz? V'nire shemipneze tirgum targum unkelus va'amar. It's maybe for this reason that the targum unkelus gives the interpretation that he does. She'im lo kein hoya avera lo onesh. Right? Were it not for the targum unkelus, it would be a sin, which is being described by the pasuk, not a punishment. That's the targum unkelus. But then the Ran comes and says the following: Aval nire li kipshuto shomikra sho omer kach. I'm going to tell you a different interpretation of the pasuk that will answer the question to some extent, but is different than the Targum Onkelos. Im kasher tiyu ba'aretz tashchisu v'sasu pesel tmunas kol. Again, the psukim before said you were in Eretz Yisrael and you made idols and worshipped Avodah Zarah. V'yikra ze'eschem yitzad rov hischakmus. Why did you make Avodah Zarah when you were in Eretz Yisrael? The Jews are not a stupid nation. Presumably, whatever Avodah Zarah they embraced in Eretz Yisrael was a sophisticated Avodah Zarah. You know, we paint all Avodah Zarah with one brush, as probably we should. But, you know, there are different madrigas of Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah for sophisticated people. And there's, I guess, the book that they publish is Avodah Zarah for Dummies. You know, there's the, you know, the non-sophisticated version of Avodah Zarah. Again, you know, people can worship, you know, a shoe, and people can have an elaborate system of idolatry that sounds very sophisticated, intellectual, and everything like that. It's still Avodah Zarah, but at least, you know, it's Avodah Zarah with a lot of sophistication. It's clear, says the Ran, when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, whatever Avodah Zarah they were worshiping was a sophisticated Avodah Zarah. But ad shetim shechu kol kach achar his chakmus hagu, but once you get drawn into Avodah Zarah, even if it's quote-unquote a sophisticated, intellectual Avodah Zarah, you'll get drawn in, shelo tachushu, im tasu mimenu harab, b'nei Hashem lachiso. It will no longer bother you that you were angering Hashem with worshipping this Avodah Zarah. So when you get to that point, yiya anshechem shetiglu me'artzechem, you'll be punished by being sent into Golus. Ve'heifitz eschem bo'amim, ve'avdo chachmaschem uvinas nevonechem. And you'll be scattered among the nations, and all of your sophistication and your intellectuality is going to go out the window. You know, you're going to be scattered. You're not going to have time to be sophisticated or intellectual. You're going to be a pashuta avodas over avodazar. Umipneshi yeminagavosechem biyedchem. And since you are already accustomed to worshipping avodah zarah, tavdu at slamim asher lo yiru mehem sar chachma v'chul aruchnius. You'll end up worshipping avodah zarah not in a sophisticated manner. You'll end up worshipping avodah zarah in a basic, silly, foolish kind of way. Lo ko osam shavaratem be'artzichem avsad hayismach hayschakmus ahu. Not in the sophisticated fashion in which you worship the Avodah Zarah back in Eretz Yisrael. No. Aval outside a sichlus ha-gomur. Ki lo yira miket mehem os klau. You'll just be worshiping Avodah Zarah in a simple, mindless kind of fashion. Right, just to put a little bit more teeth on this. Right? So there's a form of Avodah Zarah. You know, the more sophisticated approach to Avodah Zarah is the person says, I may have an icon, but when I'm, you know, worshiping this icon, I'm really having in mind some kind of power that's in the world that's maybe connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, you know, I'm not here to give drushes on how to be Ovid of Adazara with sophistication. But, you know, a person can take a sophisticated intellectual approach to Avodah Zarah, or he can say, this shtender is a deity, and I will ask the shtender to provide all of my needs. That's like the low level of Avodah Zarah. So says the Ran, when you were in Eretz Yisrael, you worshipped Avodah Zarah with his chakmus. You wrote treatises about it, you wrote articles about it, you had sophisticated discussions about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. I'm throwing you out of Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to worship it anymore. What's going to happen? Not as a punishment, but as a prediction. You'll be so stuck in your Avodah Zarah worship that vavadtem shom Elohim masa yidei adam. You're going to get there to chutz la'aretz, and you're just going to keep worshipping the same Avodah Zarah, but even worse, you won't have the sophisticated interpretations and understandings and explanations and everything like that. You'll just be asking, oh, shtender, send me next month's paycheck, right? You're just going to be davening to the shtender. That's all you're going to be doing. And you know, says the Pasuk, how degraded are you going to be? You started off with sophistication and intellectuality, and in the end of the day, you know, you're just worshiping Maisa Yedei Adam, Eitz Vo'evin, Asher Lo Yirun, V'lo Yishmun, V'lo Yochlun, V'lo Yirichun. That wasn't the way he worshipped Avodah Zarah back in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz, you'll be so stuck in what you were doing, you won't be able to pull yourself away from it. It's not a punishment per se, it's a sort of a description of an addict, in a sense. You know, the guy starts off drinking because it gives him the sense of I'm a somebody, and in the end of the day he drinks and he's rolling around in his own filth.
Right, but
it's. I think the Ran is avoiding saying that you will be by necessity punished by doing that, because the truth is that's a removal of our free will, right? In other words, to be told you will be forced to worship Avodah Zarah Chutzlars and therefore stuck is a pun. You know, it's very atypical for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove free will from a person. It happens occasionally. Pyro, you know, other examples. But Bederech Klal, to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to force us to do a sin is a very difficult idea to grasp. I think the Ran is saying not that Hashem is going to force us to do it, but it will be so hard for us to pull ourselves out of it because we're kind of locked in. We got addicted to Avodah Zarah, and we end up being addicted, just like the alcoholic, when he can't find wine, this was Ramesh's point in the context of Chametz on Pesach, you can't find wine, so you'll drink, you know, alcohol, right, you know, from the deodorant or something like that. What's that? Well, what?
Mouthwash.
Yeah, you'll drink mouthwash, right? In other words, you know, you're so desperate for alcohol, you'll have the most, you know, the most basic kind of alcohol that isn't even satisfying in any way, you're addicted. So that's the Ran is basically saying over here. You'll get addicted to Avodah Zarah to the point where you start doing things that are stupid, you know, in the cause of Avodah Zarah. It's a very interesting comment on addiction, in a sense. you know, according to the Ran's drashas. The Ramban has yet another take on this pasuk. Again, this pasuk gives rise to many, many interpretations. Writes the Ramban, Kfar pirashti sodo. I've explained earlier in my commentary what this pasuk is talking about. Ki ayoshev b'chutzala oretz ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Someone who dwells outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he's worshipping avodah zarah. Ouch. Right? But that's the way the Ramban interprets the pasuk, and again, he seems to be saying it very, very, almost literally. Right? Vavatem shom Elohim masa yidei adam, according to the Ramban, has nothing to do with you actually worshipping avodah zarah, but insofar as you are in galus outside of Eretz Yisrael, you might as well be worshipping avodah zarah, and that's what the pasuk means. Right? Now, the Gemara in Ksubos does make the statement, kol hadar b'chutz la'aretz ki'ilu ovid avodah zarah, ki'ilu ein lo eloka, you know, it's as if he worships idols, it's as if he doesn't have a god, right? But so in a sense, yeah, right, okay. The Ramban himself made Aliyah at the end of his life, right? That's how they have the Ramban Shul in Yerushalayim, the old city. But be that as it may, you know, it's one thing, so in a sense you say, what are you getting mad at the Ramban? You know, it's a Gemara. You can't have titles on the Ramban. The Gemara said it. The Gemara says it, you know, you can understand it's a little bit more homiletic. The Ramban is actually reading it back into simple pshat in the pasuk. You know, the Ramban is, in many ways, is a pashtum, is, you know, giving the simple interpretation of the pasuk. And the simple interpretation, he says, of the pasuk, Avatam Shom Elohim Asa Yidei Adam, means you might as well be worshipping Avodah Zarah in Chutzla Aretz, because the very fact that you're there and you've been thrown out of Eretz Yisrael is the equivalent as if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah. A very, very powerful statement. And it's interesting to note that other than quoting Rashi, the Ramban does not provide alternate interpretations of this pasuk. He says, this is what the pasuk means. Hadar b'chutz la'aretz ki lo'ovid avodah zarah. If you're living in chutz la'aretz, it's as if you're worshipping idols. Finally, the Rambam, to be distinguished from the Rambam has a famous letter called the Igeres Taimon, which was written to the Jews in Yemen at the time that the Rambam lived. There was a individual claiming that he was Moshiach in Taimon in Yemen, and there was a big tumult whether to follow him, yes to follow him, not to follow him. They wrote to the Rambam. So the Rambam, in the course of the Igeres Taimon, quotes this pasuk, and he basically interprets it the way the Ran says that the Targum Onkelos wanted to avoid interpreting it. It is a punishment. What's the punishment? You're going to go to Chutz La'aretz, and the nations, the ruling nations in Chutz La'aretz, are going to force the Jews to violate their religion. That's the prediction over here, is basically that there's going to be persecution, and we're going to be forced to be Oved Avodah Zarah. Again, along the lines that Marty said before, you know, to tell a believing Jew, it's one thing, the believing Jew wants to be Oved Avodah Zarah on his own. Okay, that was his choice. But now I go into Chutz La'aretz and they're making me be Oved Avodah Zarah, right? That's an incredibly cruel punishment. You know, there are all these stories, unfortunately from the Holocaust, of secular Jews who were Moser Nefesh rather than violate Halacha. In other words, secular Jews who were, the Nazis tried to force them to eat chametz on Pesach and things like that. And some of them gave up their lives or certainly suffered tremendous punishments rather than violate those averus. It's a little bit odd, you know, before the Holocaust, you ate chametz on Pesach. But, you know, it's one thing if I choose to do it. You're forcing me to do it, to renounce my Judaism? That, I can't stand that. That I'm going to rebel against. That I'm going to push back against. So that the Rambam writes, that's over here as well. The Jews went into Galus because they were Oved Avodah Zarah. But now they get to Chutz La'aretz and they're being forced to be Oved Avodah Zarah. That's a punishment. You know, it's a punishment. It irks them to be forced into that position. Multiple ways of understanding this pasuk, which we just read yesterday. Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Lefikach Yirbu Lohem Torah Umitzvos, Shnei